I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
From the number one sports site in the world.
Big names.
Bold interviews.
Beyond the X's and O's.
Welcome to the fastest 2 hours in radio.
On Yahoo Sports Radio.
And yahoosportsradio.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show.
With the one and only, the triple threat, the Big E.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell. The 6 foot former Sooner women's basketball player.
She can post, pin, and produce with some of today and yesterday's biggest stars.
Alyssa Walker-Campbell delivers sports the way you want it. Get ready to go beyond the X's and O's
with today's star athletes, coaches, and sports figures.
This is the Big E Sports Show
right now.
Now from the Quicken Loans studios of Yahoo Sports Radio.
Are you ready?
Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze.
Here she is, the one and only, the Big E, Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Walker Campbell, let's welcome you inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio. And the 2015, the NFL Draft, it is now in the rearview mirror. It is time to recap the winners and the losers. We're going to highlight some of the teams that came out on top. It's such a pleasure to have back with us legendary sports agent, we know him well, Lee Steinberg, who, of course, is considered to be one of the most influential figures in all of sports. Of course, you can listen to Lee each and every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on our network at YSR. You can go behind closed doors. The draft may be over, but Lee, he never stops working. It's good to have you back on.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Okay, Lee, so let's take time to step back. Let's put this year's NFL draft in perspective. Let's get your NFL draft grades. Who was the big winner? Bring it on.
I think there were a few interesting storylines. First was that it was supposed to be the character draft. Everyone felt that the arrest and then conviction of Aaron Hernandez, Ray Peterson, Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, all put a chill up the spine of a bunch of NFL teams. And so there was the most intense background screening that was possible. It was, they went back into people's elementary schools. They looked through every past incident to try to judge whether or not someone was going to be behaving aberrationally or disqualified somehow for non-football reasons. So what first is interesting is the biggest impact that the draft is going to have is on those teams that took quarterback. So when you look at Tampa Bay, they took a huge risk.
Mm-hmm.
If you have all of these incidents in Jameis Winston's background, and you have some people who feel like there could be recidivism. So depending on what happens, they could be the biggest winner because they picked up a franchise quarterback who's the keystone to everything, or they could be an abysmal failure. Tennessee, the same thing. So Tennessee gets Marcus Mariota. Clearly a potential franchise quarterback, but someone who hasn't played in a pro-set offense. They're trying to project him forward into a very different game. Could be a massive winner, could be a massive loser. I thought the New York Jets did really well. So, for example, Leonard Williams was seen, the defensive tackle from USC, as the best player on the board by many different folks. Mm-hmm. And they got him at number 6, which is quite something. And so I thought they had a good draft. I thought that the Minnesota Vikings had a really good draft also. I didn't understand Cleveland's draft. So that, for example, they lost Josh Gordon, their talented wide receiver. I didn't see him take a wide receiver. So that's interesting. The Dallas Cowboys lost DeMarco Murray. Mm-hmm. You would have thought that they would have gone very high for a running back. They didn't. Now, this was a draft where the running backs made a comeback. They hadn't been selected in the first round in several years. Mr. Sankey was the first running back who went last year to Tennessee, and he was picked in the third round. And yet there, very high, St. Louis goes for Todd Gurley, and that's a hit-or-miss pick, too. He's gifted, talented, but has been injured. So he goes in the first round. So does Melvin Gordon. The Chargers go up to take him. And you had 8 running backs taken in the first 3 rounds.
Hey, Lee Steinberg is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I thought it was interesting. I want to back up just a moment. You're talking about Jameis Winston, of course, the number 1 overall pick. You said a huge risk. You know, I wonder how big of a gamble is Jameis. But what does your gut tell you in terms of, well, Jameis Winston, I mean, what's his pro career going to be like in, say, 3 to 4 years?
I think it all is a function. First of all, let's start with the fact that he's a classic dropback quarterback. So he has been tested in the system, and he's been nothing but a big, big winner. What happened to him, though, was it was difficult. If you imagine he and Johnny Manziel, he's in his first year of football, he wins the Heisman Trophy, the biggest award an individual can win. He also wins the national championship. So that was sort of an unreal beginning. I think that Marcus Mariota is the better bet long term. Jameis Winston's gifted, but football has a bunch of rules. And the question is, will he be able to fit within that system and follow all those rules? And I think the jury's out, not on his talent, but on whether or not he can, on and off the field, comport himself the way he has to.
What kind of influence do you think head coach Lovie Smith can have on him? Because, you'd be willing to guess that he probably never has researched a player as much or prior to a draft. I mean, they have a huge investment in him, but what kind of influence can he have?
You make a great point. So much of this is coaching. So much of this is how they process the player into the system. So not every quarterback that goes to the top of the first round is a big success. You look back to 1999, Tim Couch is the first pick. He's not in football. Several years later, the third pick is Huey Smith, not in football. Cade McCown's not in football. The care and development of a young quarterback is so important. So the question is, can they institute around the player sort of a behavioral system, a check and balance, where whether it's Lovie Smith or the quarterback coach, someone is very closely monitoring Jameis Winston as he develops, keeping him around the complex, keeping him focused that way. Lovie Smith is a powerful figure. Mm-hmm. And could have a massive impact on Jameis. So part of this is in Tampa Bay's hands. They didn't do a terrific job with Josh Freeman, who was the predecessor there. So they need to be able to nurture and develop his talent level, keeping the playbook a little simple, trying to make sure he's got a reasonable offensive line and defense, the running game, and then they'll have better results.
We are recapping the 2015 NFL Draft with our very own Lee Steinberg tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You want to stay close. Much more straight ahead.
You want all your favorite Yahoo Sports Radio shows on demand? Real simple.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Hey, Lee Steinberg is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to check out his show each and every Monday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on Mondays right here on our network at YSR. And I want to bring up the point, you know, Lee, you represented Ryan Leaf, and obviously he was one of the NFL's biggest busts. Only time will tell about Jameis Winston. Just how difficult is it to change one's character, to get him on the right track, to accelerate this maturity growth that you're talking about?
So here's the most difficult factor. One looks into the past of a human being and then tries to project over the 10 to 12 years to come how their development will be. So if they have incidents in the past, the question becomes, is that who they are? Do they have a recidivist nature? Are these behavioral patterns so deeply etched that they're unalterable? Or conversely, is the very fact they had incidents been a learning experience, had a chilling effect for the future, scared them straight, and now they mature? None of us in our adolescent days have done everything perfectly. Most of us would rather not think about some of the things that might have occurred. So we don't want to throw young men on the trash heap of history because of one incident. But here's what happens. The cap is structured in a way that if a player becomes disqualified behaviorally, not only does the team lose whatever portion of the signing bonus is attributable to that year or that career, but they don't have the ability to replace the player because they have dead cap money. So making a mistake here has more of an effect on the franchise than just the player underperforming. If it's a behavioral aspect, then what happens is it's a disaster for the team, and that's why they have to be so careful.
Hey, glad you're with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell, having a candid conversation with Super Agent. We're talking with Lee Steinberg, 40 years as a sports agent, represented 8 number one overall picks. Another quick question about Jameis. How marketable is he?
I think that advertisers are going to sit and wait and see what happens. His problems were so heavily publicized because he was the Heisman Trophy winner. He did win the national championship. So there was, whether it was grab legs, whether it was a potential sexual assault, whether it was standing and shouting obscenities or not coming in with the right uniform at the right time, all of these got played out, really, some of them, not the sexual assault, but the rest of them in a somewhat exaggerated way. You saw this with Johnny Manziel. So advertisers are looking for someone with a high Q rating. That is, an athlete that can transfer positive attributes to a potential product. Now, I make 2 points. First of all, I don't think advertisers are going to rush into a relationship with Jameis Winston right now. They're going to sit back and wait and see how things develop. And the second thing is, it's not even really advisable from a career development standpoint for him to do endorsements at this point. He's got a big signing bonus. He has all the money he needs. And the first thing that a young rookie has to do is come into a team and show the owner, general manager, coaches, and other players the fact that football's first, cares about football. So if you take the cases of Steve Young and Warren Moon, two Super Bowl quarterbacks that I represent, we didn't have them do endorsements early. We didn't want them on every billboard advertising a product because the first year is the year fraught with peril for a young developmental quarterback. That's the year they may throw more awkward interceptions than they ever will later. They may line up over guard instead of center. They may call bad timeouts. This is all part of the maturation and growth process. So if they're having troubles on the field and not playing at their best, and yet they're being held up as endorsement mavens, it doesn't have a good effect on the fans of the city or the veterans or anyone else. Football should come first for these young players. Develop something on the field that is significant, and then as time passes, they'll actually do better endorsement-wise than they would have if they took every initial offer.
Hey, Lee Steinberg is with us. Just a few more minutes right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show, as we zero in on Jameis Winston. I mean, obviously, such a controversial athlete. I have to say, as a mom of, you know, two young sons, I mean, it's just hard to, you know, look to this guy and get a comfort level to be able to trust him. I mean, when I think back to the draft, I mean, Jameis doesn't seem like he even learned his lesson. I mean, I thought that was pretty arrogant that he posted that picture on Instagram, you know, celebrating with crab legs. I mean, he may think that's funny, but I thought it was in very poor taste.
So let's just take your reaction and figure that it's probably generalized among, first of all, females, mothers, but it's also present with a number of other figures in the public. Now, how can he alter that? Well, the best damage control method is to, if an incident occurs, to wrap your arms around all the facts, to come out very quickly afterwards and issue an apology and take responsibility. And then talk about the fact that while there's an acknowledgement of wrongdoing, there's also action being taken to prevent a recurrence. So someone's going to anger management, they're going to AA, they're doing whatever it is to help them make sure that there's not a recurrence. And so I think that the key here is that his public utterances didn't really fit that mode, so that he didn't do the things necessary to diffuse all of this different controversy around him. So it becomes even more difficult. And that's why he needs to focus on football and being the best player he can. Now, as time passes and there's no repetition, you look at someone like Kobe Bryant, who had an ugly incident, now is doing national endorsements,
right.
Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
History is replete with examples of people that had checkered pasts but are now popular figures.
Well, I definitely believe in second chances, and he obviously is a tremendous talent. There's no denying his ability. He's just got to get his act together off the field. So, Lee Steinberg, what an honor to have you with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Congratulations on your show. And, of course, we enjoy listening to you on Monday nights right here on our network from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, Lee. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
It's been my pleasure.
You bet. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Stay close.
You're listening to the Big East Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
Okay, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Time now in our next segment to recap the fight of the century and, of course, the feedback from the highly anticipated match. It was disappointing. A ton of criticism for the fight. Mayweather still reigns as pound-for-pound champ, and it's a pleasure to welcome in Ray Flores from ESPN Chicago. He is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Good evening, Ray. It's your first time on our show. Thank you.
Alyssa, thank you very much for the opportunity. Really appreciate joining you right here on Yahoo Sports Radio. And as you mentioned, a lot of things going on in the sport of boxing.
Of course. And yeah, no surprises with the outcome. But, I mean, everybody virtually had picked Mayweather to win. But what were your takeaways, Ray, from the fight? Because it really did underwhelm.
I understand why people were underwhelmed. But here's the thing, Alyssa. People had higher expectations than what they should have. The reason why I say that is because everyone was expecting Hagler-Hearns. Styles make fights. Mm-hmm. If you look at these guys' styles, it was not going to be a slugfest. It was going to be high-level athletic chess. It was going to be a fight that was nip and tuck, where neither fighter wanted to make a mistake. When you have that mentality, the whole adage of throwing caution to the wind does not take place inside the ring. So that's why you got what you were able to see on Saturday night. I thought it was a masterful performance from Floyd Mayweather because of what he was able to do to Manny Pacquiao. Mm-hmm. There were times where he was against the ropes. He was able to get off the ropes. He used his jab. He was able to land right hands whenever he wanted. People want to talk about that this wasn't the most exciting fight in the world. Well, Manny Pacquiao typically throws around 700 punches a fight, if not more. He threw less than Floyd Mayweather, which was under 500 punches. I understand Manny had an injury with a torn rotator cuff, but still, you have to go ahead and really take chances. Manny Pacquiao did not do that on Saturday night.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Ray Flores, ESPN Chicago, 1000 AM. Of course, he's a full-time ring announcer. We got a lot more boxing news that we're going to get into. But since you bring up Pacquiao, his shoulder injury, I mean, do you blame him for holding back? I mean, and what, hiding the injury?
Well, you know what? It seemed like it was a pretty bad injury. He's going to be out 8 to 12 months. And he did not disclose the injury on the Friday of the fight. And then 2 hours before first bell, he asked the Nevada State Athletic Commission if he could take a cortisone shot. Now, the cortisone shot is the substances inside the cortisone shot are well within the reason of the Nevada State Athletic Commission. But Francisco Aguilar, who's on the board, said, had he disclosed this to us yesterday, we would have had the full opportunity to get a story together from him, and then we would have allowed him to take the cortisone shot.
Uh-huh.
Because it took him 2 hours before the first bell, they did not allow it because they did not feel comfortable. So I think it was Manny's fault for not disclosing the injury before. Well, I understand why he didn't, because there's a possibility the fight was going to be called off, and he wanted to cash his $50 million check. So I just think it was a little disappointing for the fans that we expected more out of Manny, but hopefully we get to see it again. After Saturday night, immediately after, there's no reason, in my opinion, there was no reason to see a rematch. Now with the injury, I would like to see a rematch coming up next May. Will it gain the same amount of attention and publicity and pay-per-view buys? Probably not. But there's still that level of intrigue with both fighters who are the best, you know, fighters in their era.
Ray, how concerned are you with the severity of the injury and how significant it could affect him long-term?
I don't think it'll affect him too much long-term, Alyssa. I think it affected him in the fight a little bit. But still, so on two of the scorecards, Manny won four rounds. Had he had a full shoulder to work with, he would have maybe won five. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem. Floyd makes adjustments better than anybody in the business. So had Manny been more active, Floyd would have made more adjustments. He did that against everybody he's faced, whether it be Canelo Alvarez, Marcos Maidana the first fight, Marcos Maidana the second fight. That's just in recent memory. So Floyd makes adjustments. Had Manny been totally healthy, he would have gone ahead and found out a way to figure out Manny Pacquiao. Now let's have, if Floyd wins in September, his plans are to get inside the ring at the MGM in September, potentially against Amir Khan or Keith Thurman. Those are the names I've been hearing bantered about. And then maybe Manny Pacquiao gets in there against Floyd Mayweather. That would be a significant fight because Floyd would be going after him to try to break Rocky Marciano's 49-0 record.
Okay.
September, if he wins, he'll tie it 50-0, possibly in May.
Okay, Ray Flores with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's with ESPN Chicago, 1000 AM. And Ray, connect with our audience across the country. Where can they check out some of your work?
All they have to do is they can go on my Twitter, RayFlores86. They can also check me out on ESPN 1000 in Chicago. I'm also going to be doing ring announcing this week. If you're in Houston, Texas, check it out. I'll be doing the non-televised undercard for Canelo Alvarez and James Kirkland. They're expecting over 40,000 Minute Maid Park. May 22, the final Friday night fight show presented by Banner Promotions. That'll be on ESPN on May 22nd, so they can all watch me ring announce on May 22nd. Then coming up on June 20th, I'll be out in Oakland, California, doing some work for Roc Nation Sports, the company spearheaded by Jay-Z. Andre Ward will be inside the ring in his hometown, making his way back inside the squared circle.
If you don't mind, I want to digress for just a moment. I mean, tell us a little bit about, as far as your background, how in the world did you get into full-time, being a ring announcer and your love for boxing?
Honestly, it's one thing leads to another. I've been doing play-by-play for MMA commentary for about 10 years now, and went to Columbia College, where one of your producers went to, JG, as I like to call him, went to, and had an MMA and boxing radio show. One guy calls me, I do one show, at least do another, and then we move forward from there. So it has been a whirlwind opportunity, and I'm just very thankful to work for some of the greatest promoters in the world. And this weekend, I get to work for Golden Boy Promotions, and what a card it's going to be. 40,000 people, Canelo, Kirkland. It is going to be a ruckus atmosphere. And for all your listeners out there, they can watch the final two bouts. They have Frankie Gomez and Humberto Soto, and then Canelo and Kirkland on HBO.
So who are some of your favorite boxing legends? Who's your fave, Ray?
Legends? I don't think you can go wrong with Muhammad Ali. Mm-hmm. I think he was unbelievable. I mean, obviously, he just was a popular, entertainment and sports icon. I love watching Roberto Duran. I was actually very fortunate this past weekend in Las Vegas to meet Julio Cesar Chavez. He's the reason why I fell in love with the sport of boxing, watching his fights with my father back years ago. So I would have to say Muhammad Ali and Julio Cesar Chavez, along with Roberto Duran, they are at the top of my list. So,
well, I have to wonder, too, in terms of where do you see the sport of boxing right now? What needs to take place to take it to the next level and to kind of find that audience again? I mean, obviously, you're very passionate about it, but what does it need to do to connect with fans out there?
Alyssa, here's the thing, and I'm tired of hearing when people say that was the last great fight in boxing. They've mm-hmm. been saying that since the beginning of time, since my grandfather was a young man. And you look at what the schedule is. You had Mayweather and Pacquiao last week. This week on HBO, you have Canelo Kirkland. Next Saturday night, you have Gennady Golovkin, who is one of the fastest rising stars in all of boxing. He's fighting Willie Monroe Jr., who developed himself on ESPN. Then you have the May 22nd, the finals of the Boxing Tournament, the final Friday night fight. May 29, you get Chris Algieri, Amir Khan. You're getting boxing on network television thanks to Al Haymon and Premier Boxing Champions. You have Golden Boy Promotions, who is putting on sensational cards. As I mentioned with Jay-Z, Roc Nation Sports, they're into the fray. Banner Promotions has Ruslan Provodnikov, Willie Monroe Jr., a lot of talented fighters. There is so much out there. There's more boxing on network television and on free TV than there ever was before. You have the opportunity to get to know these guys, why they matter, and you get to see their journey. And I love the fact that Mayweather and Pacquiao fought because it gets to bring the casual fan back into the sport. But I'm telling you what, Canelo and Kirkland are going to put on a show, and Gennady Golovkin is always in a fan-friendly fight. So it's going to be a fun time. This is a fun couple months in the sport of boxing.
Okay, Ray Flores has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big Esports Show. Check him out, ESPN Chicago, 1000 AM. You can also check him out online. We got 30 seconds. What's the biggest challenge facing boxing right now? That's my follow-up question.
The biggest challenge facing the sport of boxing is for everyone to work together. There's a civil war going on right now with a lot of different entities. Oscar De La Hoya suing Al Haymon. Al Haymon wants to go ahead and, kind of grab a hold of the landscape of boxing. But it's just all work together, Top Rank, Golden Boy, everybody. It's all work together, make great fights. The fans will be happy. Everyone will cash checks. Television fans will be all over the place, and the buildings will be full. So that's what I'd like to see in the sport of boxing.
You said it best. Ray Flores, ESPN Chicago, 1000 AM, the very best. Thank you, Ray. We will talk to you soon, okay?
Definitely. Always a pleasure to be on the list. Take care.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Connect with us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and you can email the show at Alyssa@yahoosportsradio.com. We will be right back with much, much more. Stay close.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Once again, the host of the fastest 2 hours in radio. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
The Big E.
And we're We're back with you on this Friday night, the fastest 2 hours in radio. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Another big weekend of the playoffs, but we wanted to carve out some time. We want to examine the Milwaukee Bucks. What a memorable season under first-year head coach Jason Kidd. And we also want to take a few minutes and get an update on the Milwaukee Brewers as they have a new manager in Craig Counsell. That's their 19th manager in franchise history. And it's good to be catching up with Tom Pivens. He's with Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. He's out there at the Brewers right now. A lot of change has taken place, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, Biggie, and it's great to be with you and the listeners. I think Jason Kidd has changed the culture, a great defensive team. They go from 15 wins to 41. They surprisingly make the playoffs, and even more surprisingly, win two games against the Bulls before it all unraveled in Game 6. And I think what that did for those young players, the Giannis's of the world, the Michael Carter Williams, the Chris Middletons, John Henson, it can only help them. But I think that they would be wise if they're looking for a good free agent to sign Big E, because I've seen you. I've seen pictures recently with Hakeem, and you've got it going on.
You talk about living a dream down here in Houston, Texas. I'm sorry, I usually don't name drop, but I had to brag a little bit, Tom. You've known me for a long time.
So,
yeah, it was incredible. Okay, Tom Pivens is with us at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Let's talk about your Bucks, though. Okay, so, you know, they've been winless in the playoffs since 2010. And just as you had said, that series against Chicago, the fact that they were able to win two games. I mean, moving forward, the Milwaukee Bucks, you know what? They sent a strong message to the league. This is a team that cannot be overlooked.
No, and I think they understand that now. So they realize they're going to have to play that much harder and get that much better. And with hopefully Jabari Parker back healthy from the ACL, better than ever. I mean, if you consider it, we've talked about this on your show before, Big E, that they didn't have Jabari Parker from December on, and Larry Sanders, perhaps the best big man that didn't work out because of personal issues, eventually released, left the game. And so I think what they accomplished was absolutely amazing. And now to get another draft pick, and perhaps because of Jason Kidd's cachet, be able to sign a good free agent. A lot of excitement. The new ownership, hopefully still waiting, trying to work out that political football, if you will, in this game of basketball, get that new arena built. There's a lot to look ahead to. And if you consider it, they were down 3-0. They could have given up, and yet they almost won. Wasn't it double overtime, if memory serves, in Game 3 at home? And I think, okay, they could have walked away. Instead, they stay alive and then go to Chicago and get one with gritty defense. And once again, they're still lacking a good shooter. They need a good shooter as well. Chris Middleton is really the only guy, they call him money, who can put it in on a consistent basis. But I think there's a lot to be enthused about. The kind of defense they played, the way they competed, Alyssa, I've not seen that, I would say, in some 20 years. That's a great credit to the young men who play the game, but also to Jason Kidd and his staff.
Well, you're exactly right, because I was going to point to their head coach, the new leadership, just the disposition, the demeanor that he has with his team. I mean, he certainly had a share of critics, you know, before coming to the Bucks, but he engineered such an amazing turnaround.
Well, absolutely, and I think they'll get better with more experience, but as you point out, they're not going to jump up on anybody anymore and surprise them, so they have got to get better individually, during the offseason, shooting. You know, Giannis, his jump shot has come, but the Greek Freak has a lot more to do to improve that way. And the same with Michael Carter Williams at 6'6", as you're aware. He's a matchup nightmare. He did a lot against Derrick Rose, taking him to the basket, had a fantastic game in Game 5 at Chicago to force 6 back in Milwaukee. So, but I do think they're going to have to get a free agent, a shooter, and then hopefully somebody in the draft to help them out. Because when you look at the real good teams we're still watching now in the playoffs, they're so very far ahead of where the Bucks, and yet Milwaukee has come a long way. And that's why I'm so enthused as someone who's been blessed to be around here so long and see a lot of teams that didn't play as hard as these fellas did. They really bought in. They look at Jason Kidd and they say, hey, this guy's a surefire Hall of Famer. I better listen to what he says. So he's got credibility with him, and they responded in kind.
Well, you know, you're so right, too, Tom, because we were thinking back to that game against Chicago in Game 4. I mean, the Bulls and the Bucks, I mean, the Bucks had 20 steals. They forced 28 turnovers in that game.
Yep. That's what they do. I mean, he has them playing so hard, and it took a while, but they got the system going. And you'll recall, Big E, the trade just at the All-Star break or after with Brandon Knight going to Phoenix, that three-team deal. And Knight was their best shooter. And in some ways, in the short term, it hurt him big time to lose Brandon Knight, although eventually he hurt his ankle and he was out. But I think Michael Carter-Williams for this group might in the long term be a better fit because he is a pass-first point guard, and he's going to make a lot of magic, I think, with Giannis and, again, with Jabari Parker. Great court sense, makes some super passes, makes a turnover or two or three or four. You know, a lot to learn. These are still pretty young kids. The nucleus of the team is young, 23, 20, 20. And that's why I think we can be so enthused that they can continue to build around them. And again, kid, whether with a veteran Brooklyn team in his first year or with the Bucks, a young team, everybody wondered, would he be patient? You know what? He's turned out to be terrific. He really has. Got to give him a lot of credit.
Hey, you're listening to the voice of Tom Pippins tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. He's one of our regular guests, Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. And I want to back up. You know, we were talking about when that trade did go down. I have to tell you, I was really stunned because I believe you had just been on the show and we were talking about the impact of Brandon, just what he meant to the team. I mean, he was probably perhaps, would you say, one of the most respected players with the Bucks. I was surprised to see that subtraction.
Yes, and he's, you know, he's a young fellow himself, the same age as MCW. So at first you say, okay, we understand he's a restricted free agent, and maybe the Bucks were concerned with what they might have had to pay on the market. But he fit in so well, and they had an offensive flow going. But I was excited because of the type of player that Michael Carter-Williams is, and I think that he can be a better all-around player, I would dare say, than Brandon Knight, who, again, is a gifted talent. He's a good offensive player. He's come on defensively as well. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see, with MCW getting a few years under his belt, I don't think this is a trade long-term. As they say, they hope to own the future. Hashtag own the future when they treat. Well, I think that obviously he's a big, big part of that puzzle looking forward.
Tom, can you provide any insight on Jabari Parker? I mean, how is his rehab coming along?
It's coming along very well. And I'll tell you, Biggie, he was with a team from day one after the surgery, rehabbing hard. He learned a great deal by being on the bench. He was an encourager with the team. He's solid. He has an old soul to me because here's a young man who's mature beyond his years. His father, Sonny, his mom, great solid upbringing in Chicago. Extremely impressed with this young man on and off the court. And he was doing really well before he went down. And in some ways, he's just taking this as a positive. He's seen others with the ACL who've encouraged him. And I think he's going to work real hard and in some ways maybe be better than ever with a different perspective on, you know, how fortunate these people are to have the gifts that they do and to be able to go night in and night out and perform the way that they do. So I hope long term, I think if this young man is blessed with health going forward, he's going to be an outstanding all-star caliber player.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're doing a full recap on the Milwaukee Bucks season, visiting with Tom Pippins from Fox 6 out of Milwaukee. We are quickly running out of time, but what's your expectations for the Greek Freak next year for this guy? You talk about a young man. I mean, gosh, he scored in double figures in 60 of 81 games in the regular season. He's just going to get better.
I agree. And, you know, he is a stat stuffer. He can get you the assist, the rebound. He's a triple-double waiting to happen. He, I think, learned a great deal about being aggressive in the playoffs. The first couple of games in particular, missed a lot of shots around the basket, didn't go hard enough. But then he had that big game where he scored 25. So I think he improved a bunch. If you're thinking about an 18-year-old kid who was playing at a talent level in Greece that certainly isn't anything close to the NBA, to be able to come on and in his second year make such a big leap, I expect him, and he has the attitude. He loves the game. He's going to work real hard. He's going to listen like a sponge and soak up good coaching. I think this is another one who can be really good. And that's why I think that, you know, listeners, even if you're not a Bucks fan, you're going to see these guys and appreciate how very good they can be.
Hey, what about O.J. Mayo? I thought he played, like, his hair was on fire. He's got a new style, a new do. I mean, he didn't have that in Dallas.
Yeah,
but
I like the do. He got into shape, too. And you know what? He is one, I think, as much as anybody else responded to the coaching of Jason Kidd. And I give O.J. a lot of credit.
Yes.
He was solid as can be in the playoffs and certainly throughout the season when he was healthy. And he made to me, it looked as if it wasn't going to go any further than season one. Maybe a mistake to bring him in, but he certainly proved that he has the gifts. And, you know, he's a streaky shooter. When he gets into the zone, big game, he is almost as good as you out there.
Oh, come on, Tom. Give me a break. It's Mother's Day weekend, so you can bring it on for me.
All right, I'm a little biased. You know, we can't talk about Brewers. They lose a good man in Ron Renicki. He'll be back. But Craig Council, who grew up here as a Brewer, admiring Yount and Gantner and Molitor, and now he's running the ball club. I think going forward, he's going to do a super job, and whether it's this year or next year, we'll wait and see.
Outstanding. Tom, always a pleasure to have you on YSR, the Big E Sports Show. It is a special weekend, and we loved having you on. Thank you so much.
It's a privilege. Best to you and your family, Big E, and all of God's blessings to the listeners. Take care.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead. Hour number two is on the way. Stay close.